Hi everyone, we are the Gooders, people who do good. We help people dealing with life challenges and empower them to help others. Today we are hosting Kelly Lynn, TED speaker and an author. Thank you for being with us, Kelly.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by CircleUp.com, the go-to place for life challenges like grief, divorce, cancer, etc. In every episode, we speak with an inspiring person who moderates an audio chat room for people dealing with the same life challenge. We will tell their story and the story of the members of their groups. And today we are talking about grief. There are 75 million people in the United States that are dealing with grief as we speak. So Kelly, again, thank you so much for being with us. And we'd love to hear your story.
Sure, of course. Thank you so much for having me. This is an awesome thing that you're doing. And I love the title, Do Gooders. It's great. So I am a stand-up comedian, an actor, a speaker, and an author. I'm from small town Massachusetts, and I moved to New York City and the New York City area when I was 18. And I did that so I could become an actor and do all those performing type things and lived the struggling actor lifestyle for 25 years in New York City. While I was there, I was a professor at Adelphi University. I taught acting courses, stand-up comedy courses, directing, all kinds of things like that for 16 years. And in 1998, one night, I met a guy who lived in Florida, and we met in a music trivia chat room on America Online. So way before dating apps and all that stuff existed. We dated long distance for a long time. In 2005, he moved to New Jersey to be with me and start our life together. And he proposed to me and we got married in 2006. And we were married very happily. And, you know, he was my best friend. And an ordinary Wednesday in July of 2011, he went to work and he never came home. And they found him on the floor and he had collapsed from a massive heart attack, cardiac arrest, no symptoms, no warning of any kind. And, you know, he was very healthy as far as we knew. So it was complete shock. And he was 46 years old and I was 39 and I found myself suddenly widowed and not knowing what to do. So because I was already a writer, an actor, all of those things, it was just sort of natural for me to start writing about it and writing about the loss and my feelings and emotions. So I started writing and I kind of early on realized I had a couple of choices, right? I could either let the pain kill me or I could create something from the pain. So out of that mindset came a book, My Husband is Not a Rainbow. Out of that mindset came a TED Talk that you mentioned in my intro that has 2.5 million views and counting. So it's gone viral. And that's all about loss and grief and how we treat people who are grieving. And a bunch of speaking gigs, talking to widowed people, talking to people going through loss and helping them. And that's my passion since my husband's death. I love talking to people about loss. I love talking to people about getting your life back after loss and how to do that and still honor the person that you lost and that you still love. So that's what brought me to Circles. And I love what Circles does.
Thanks so much for sharing. And
you're welcome.
Sounds so much like surprising and out of the blue. Can you take us back to the moment, if you remember, and what you can share? Like when you are realizing that you didn't plan for it, your life have changed, you are now a widow.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like you don't realize it in one moment. You kind of realize it over and over and over again when it happens suddenly like that. It's such a shock to your system that the realizing of it, like, this is my life now. This is really what happened. Like, did my husband really die? Like, you kind of wake up for a long time, weeks and months and even years afterwards, thinking that in the morning because it happened early in the morning. And so I was jarred awake by a phone call from the hospital telling me we have your husband. And suddenly I was in a cab and I was at the hospital and they said, you know, we're sorry. He didn't make it. He had a heart attack. And that's how I found out. And so for years later, you know, the mornings were especially hard for me. So I would just lie awake and or wake up and have this feeling like, oh, something's different. Something bad's going to happen. And that's what trauma does to you. And that's what the sudden shock does to you for a long time. So it was kind of like realizing it in moments and in different fragments. And I at first, I didn't know what to do, honestly. I didn't know how I was going to make it through the day, never mind the next year or 5 years. So really what I did was to just take it one breath at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time, and just try and focus on like right now, like what, how do I get to the next moment? And don't try not to worry about anything else, because everything else was way too overwhelming.
Wow. It sounds such a challenging experience and maybe a lonely one. Can you share with us what made you, but that's a super deep insight, just getting to the next moment.
Yeah.
Was there people around you supporting you, or like, how did you land on this insight of just getting to the next moment?
So at first there was not people supporting me that were also widowed. I didn't have a widowed community for a pretty long time because I didn't know where to find one. You know, I would look online and I would look in person. I started trying to go to a couple of support groups in person. And what I was finding was there's not a lot of widowed people that are 39 years old. You know, most people that become widowed are a lot older than that. And so it's not necessarily the same experience. It's not better or worse. It's just very, very different, because they were talking about, you know, being 85 years old is different than being 39 years old. They're talking about great grandchildren and retirement and things like that. And, you know, here I was, we hadn't even bought a house yet. We didn't have kids yet. So our whole future was taken away and it was very different. So it was really lonely for a long time. I started going on Facebook in the beginning when I would get lonely at night and I'd be in my apartment alone, and I'd go and I'd do searches for widowed groups. And that's where I started to find some groups of people that were more my age that had been widowed. And it's a lot of sudden loss, generally speaking, when somebody is widowed young, you know, it's a lot of sudden loss. And so a lot of people had experiences like mine where 1 minute their life was one way and the next second everything was different. And so getting into some of those groups was so helpful in the beginning, and finding my community and finding my tribe and finding other people that listen. And of course, I have a great family, great friends. I had my New York community of friends, my comedians, you know, all those people. And they did the best they could and they did great, but they didn't understand what I was going through.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the magic of a group, right? Of people that deal with the same life challenge. So for the widowed people that are listening to us, like, if you can remember, like, what were the things that you felt that you experienced, nobody else understood, but other widowed people, like young widowed people, understood?
Yeah, God, there's so many things. I would say, you know, that just the varied emotions that come along with being widowed, how you can be literally laughing 1 second and the next second you're crying and you're extremely upset, and it's all normal. Like, you know, other people on the outside of this might look at us strange, like, why is she laughing? You know, but then 5 minutes later, you know, you're just having an emotional breakdown. And when you're around other people who are going through what you're going through, you can do that and feel safe to do that. And they totally understand that, you know, there's moments of humor, there's moments of sadness, and you don't have to feel guilty or bad about any of it. It's just all normal emotions, where sometimes you feel like you're going crazy, you know, because it's not the norm to lose a spouse or a partner at that point in your life, you know, 5 years after you get married. And so there's a lot of questions that you have, you know, what do I do? What do I do next? How do I go forward? And just little things like, you know, what do I do with the furniture? How long do I wear my wedding ring? What side of the bed do I sleep on? Just so many things that, like, you just don't know what to do. And it's like, you kind of figure it out together when you talk to other widowed people. Whereas if you try and talk to people that aren't widowed, they may give you judgments or here's what I would do. And they really don't know, you know, they're trying to help, but they just don't know what it's like. And how hard of a decision it can be to, for example, throw out something that your husband had, you know, that was his, and how you sit there for 3 hours thinking about it, like, I can't throw it out, it's his, you know, but what the heck am I going to do with it? I don't need it, you know? So it's things like that. And they come up so often. And it's really great to have other friends that are also widowed that you can call up and or send a private message to and just say, hey, you know, how do I deal with this? I have this quarter collection that my husband had, and I don't know what to do with it. You know, what should I do?
Yeah, wow. You're talking, and I'm realizing like that. Yeah, you can't like unless you experienced it. Like you can't. When I was asking the question, I was wondering like, yeah, what would be like a unique experience? And then like all the examples that you gave, it's like, wow, yeah, it's true. And yeah. Like you can't
there's so many of them, you know, it's just, it's crazy. And they come up and they come up and they come up and it's stuff you would never think about really, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you find yourself in the grocery store and you're so used to buying, you know, things for you and things for your husband and you're going down an aisle and all of a sudden you're in tears because you passed the cereal that he liked, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't have to get that. It's in my cart. I don't need that anymore. He's dead. So it's stuff like that. And it happens kind of continuously and you feel like you're going crazy.
Wow. And so can you go back to the moment when you realized that you want to help other people? Like it sounds like you had like a long journey to just to get to gain back kind of like and get back to life and kind of like experience or deal with what you were dealing with. So but there's another a point where you start realizing that you want to help other people.
Yeah, there was a few different points where that happened, but you know, I did start writing immediately after my loss. I mean, immediately, like that night I was writing on my computer and my mom walked in my room. She said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I'm writing about Dawn. I'm just writing. And I was furiously writing. And I just felt like a sense of relief from writing. Like it just helped. And so I kept writing and I didn't know what I was writing, but that ended up being his eulogy a few days later that I did at his funeral. And then that ended up being Facebook posts that I would put on Facebook, you know, for my friends and publicly just to talk about what this is like. And I would just be brutally honest in my posts and say what it's like. And I started getting messages from people saying like, thank you so much for being so honest and for posting this stuff. Nobody talks about it. This is so great that you're talking about it so openly and so honestly. And, you know, everything you're saying, I totally relate to. And so other widowed people started messaging me and I started to get sort of a following. And so I started a blog and then that blog became popular and then that became the book. And so that was all how the helping people thing sort of started. And it just kind of went from there, you know, into doing different speaking engagements and things like that, talking to widowed people, using comedy to help widowed people, you know, finding the funny inside the pain, as I call it, you know, finding my audience of widowed people that would just laugh like crazy at the many funny parts of being widowed, which you don't think there would be, but you know, for example, things people say, things people tell you, the insensitive comments that people tell you can be very funny. The red flag issues you have to deal with, you know, when you become widowed and things like that. So there's a lot of humor that comes with it as well.
Yeah. Not a lot of people realize that part of your personal healing process is like helping other really is kind of like a meaningful part of your personal healing, which is amazing. It accelerates your healing. It reaches your healing. So
it's a circle. You help others and you know, you heal them and then that heals you. And it's back and forth like that. I really believe that.
Yeah. 100%. And I think that's a great segue to ask you about your chat rooms and your audio room and the people that are attending your rooms. Can you think of like one or two examples of people that visited your rooms and what do you think they got out of it?
Sure, absolutely. So I'll just tell people in case anyone's listening or watching this that and is widowed that my room is called Never Alone, a space for widowed people. If they wish to join, the app is free. They can just get right on it and they can join. And it's a great environment. And yeah, so just being around other people that get it, you know, you have the freedom to say whatever you want. Couple stories I'll share with you. The first night that I did my room, the first night ever, a widower came in and it was his first time talking publicly anywhere, he said. And the reason that he chose Circles and that particular group was because he said he was sort of a public figure. Him and his wife both worked in New York City in the Broadway area on shows and stuff. And so he couldn't really feel comfortable to talk in a public place because of his name. And he was somewhat famous. So yeah. I don't know who he is because of the anonymous factor that Circles offers. You know, you can be completely anonymous. There's no video, there's no faces. And, you know, you can type in whatever screen name you want. So it's completely anonymous. And he felt very comfortable talking to us in that space. And he was able to really release so much of his daily world, you know, that his daily world would not allow him to release. So that was a huge moment of where I really felt like we helped, all of us helped that man that night. Another time, you know, there was this young widow, very young, like 25, 26, and she had two kids and she was pregnant when her husband died. And it was a sudden death. And so she was just so overwhelmed, like did not know what to do next. Didn't know, how am I going to raise these kids? I'm pregnant. Like, what do I do? And, you know, we sort of calmed her down that night. And just that little thing was such a big help to her. You know, we just kind of told her, you know, let yourself grieve, let yourself heal. The future is so overwhelming. Try and take it one second at a time, like I was talking about earlier. And, you know, you don't have to have all the answers today. It's okay. You're going to be okay. It's going to be hard. You're going to be okay. And some of us that were, you know, that had been widowed 5 years, 10 years plus, she really appreciated hearing that from us because she was like, oh, well, you know, Kelly's been here, you know, she's been widowed 11 years. And she's still here, you know, and she seems happy and good. And so I can do this too. And the third thing is really, it's not a story really, but just more of a thing where when you're around others who get it, you can laugh. And we laugh a lot in those rooms. We cry, we get emotional, but we also laugh quite a bit.
Wow. I think that when I talk to people that lead rooms, I think that hope is a meaningful thing. And I think that people are getting hope. And it sounds from your stories that, you know, people are really getting hope from participating in your room.
Hope is a big thing.
Yeah. Yes, Kelly, thank you so much for sharing, first of all, your story and the stories of your members. And thank you for being there for people. I know from getting the feedback that you're getting on your rooms that people are getting a lot of value, a lot of hope on your rooms. So thank you for being there for people.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you again for having me on and having me as a Circles facilitator. I love it.
Thank you.